Moving on to something traditional and enjoyable and seasonal and all those kind of good things. On Wednesday, one of the leading horse shows in the world will get underway here. The Dublin Horse Show returns to the RDS. And Brendan McArdle of the Irish Field and the RTE Racing Commentary Team joins me now for a preview. And you were at rehearsals yesterday, Brendan. So remind us of the scale of this event.
Well, good morning, Marion.
Good morning to you.
It's really the All Ireland for people in the equestrian world. They've had to qualify the length and breadth of the country to compete here in the young horse classes. So some 1,400 horses and ponies will
1,400.
Will compete at the RDS over the 5-day event. It's worth 50 million to the local economy, and it's that's a mammoth, like 10 million a day. So it's a huge undertaken by the RDS.
But I presume those that are involved with those particular kind of horses, like hunter classes and sport horses, it's to showcase the horse and to get buyers to come to the market. I mean, we've been losing a lot of our good hunter class horses, haven't we? They're selling.
Well, they're selling, and if they're selling, then there's somebody making money along the way.
Yeah,
it is the showcase window for people to come from all over the world. Like Ireland, we're the number one country in the world for show jumping. They lost that title. However, we are the number one country in the world for eventing.
Is that because we sold the good horses?
They sold them along the way, but maybe breeding programs and breeding plans and investment in the sport didn't actually happen. Like there's a move at the moment that the sport is not getting enough funding, and the people like Barry O'Connor and the Alliance of Show Jumpers, they're actually lobbying government along with Horsesport Ireland to get more funding for infrastructure, for the breeders, for prize money, to make the sport better here. A lot of our international riders are based abroad. So we're producing the talent, but we need to have the resources and they need to have the funding here. And for what the sport horse industry is giving to the bottom line and to the economy, like giving over 830 million. They're getting a small fraction from government. And government really need to step up to the plate here and actually recognise what the industry is doing and the employment that is providing as well. As in, it hits every parish, every county in Ireland. And this is something that seems to have gone on deaf ears. And Minister Creed is the minister responsible for this, and also Shane Ross in the sports side of it. But they really need to listen to what the people are saying, and they really need to start delivering.
Okay, I mean, I suppose there was an image in the past, partly true, of, you know, that it was people in bowler hats rather than scruffy people jumping.
Well, there will be a lot of bowler hats next week, and people who wouldn't want to wear a bowler hat will actually don the bowler hat next week because it's like part of the tradition.
Right.
I haven't went down that road yet.
Yeah, well, one of these days. It is quite a tradition. It goes back a long way, and it started in Leinster House.
Yeah, 1868 was the first horse show organised by the RDS, and it happened on the lawns of Leinster House. £100 at the time was the prize fund. Now you're looking at a prize fund of 1.25 million, of which 900 of that is going for the international jumping and the rest goes to the national shows.
Right, yeah. And tell me a little bit about it and the genesis of it and how it developed.
Well, it moved out then to the RDS in 1881, and really it's nowhere like what it is today in terms of the high-end jumping competitions and the international teams that were coming from abroad. But it always was a place where the man and woman who had the mare, the foal, the stallion, wanted to always showcase their winning animal and bring them to Dublin.
Yeah.
And if you had a Dublin champion, you could name your price on it.
Really?
It was. It was like the local parish winning the club championship or winning the All-Ireland. That's what it really was. It was the man and woman who brought their horse to Dublin And really, you talk about the man and woman because it's only since we're celebrating 100 years of women competing at the show.
That's right, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a great centenary for them. And really, it was after World War One that women became more involved, that then they were allowed to compete at the show. And it's amazing how it has developed down through the years. But Dublin is unique in terms of any other show in the world. Like, I'm very fortunate I get to travel to Aachen in Germany, which is classed as the show in the world, or Calgary in Canada. But to have a show in the centre of a capital city, you have now the Global Champions Tour and Jan Tops trying to bring shows to major cities. So it's in London this weekend. It was beside the Eiffel Tower in Paris a couple of weeks ago. It's in Shanty before that. So Ireland is quite unique, that they have a big piece of land sitting in the centre of Dublin that can accommodate what it is. If they had twice the size, they could fill it.
Well, they had.
They had, but as in, I suppose, to keep it commercial and to keep the show there and for the show to survive, they probably made those measures. And they've made measures in the last number of years as well by building there, which has been good for the show in terms of keeping it sustained.
Right, yeah, because they lost the spring show, but they own the land across the road, which was then AIB, which I think shortly is to become Google.
Yes, well, yeah.
It's amazing. from that 100 years ago to where we're going now. I'm not overly partial to the concept of a Ladies' Day, but it arose out of competition in horsemanship or horse personship, as opposed to fashion.
It was really at that time back in 1919 that the first day of the really of ladies being able to show was actually Ladies' Day. So they had one day particularly for that. And among the first women to win was a lady called Florence Garrett from County Meath. And she enjoyed success in the hunting classes with her mounts, would you hear this, motor car and the tank. So she obviously was a powerful sort of a woman who was into her power. And but she was, and then there's another lady called Mrs. Bintley Marshall, and she earned a yellow ribbon on a horse called Bubble. So that really was the start of the ladies
competing. Yeah.
They were in the showing classes,
yeah.
But that was showing in hand.
Yeah.
Then it was on horseback. And since then...
I presume they were riding side saddle at that stage.
They were riding side saddle, yeah. And at the launch of the show, a lady called Susan Oakes, who has been a trailblazer for ladies in equestrian sport and in terms of jumping the Puissance Wall side saddle, she dressed up in the attire.
It is very, very elegant. Having just said, I didn't really go with the fashion thing, but It does look very elegant, doesn't it?
It does, but the weight of it, Marion, I'd say having to wear that and get up on a horse, and the weight of a side saddle is much heavier than a normal saddle.
Is it?
Well, there had been in the past.
Yeah.
Much lighter now with new fabrics. But the poor horse had to carry quite a bit and to be able to show himself off or herself off well enough to win.
Anyway, they did. Now, the big thing here still, kind of, is the Aga Khan, the Nations Cup. Tell us how that came around.
In 1926 was the first year of the Aga Khan, and the late Aga Khan, not the current Aga Khan, donated a trophy.
Why?
Because he had a tutor here called Mr. Kenny, and Mr. Kenny was very good to him, and he was part of the Royal Dublin Society, and as a result they wanted to set up a team competition, and His Highness at the time presented a gold trophy. The current Aga Khan, who has done so much for Ireland and for racing, never attended the Dublin Horse Show.
Really?
Never attended, and it's something that I know a lot of people are really trying hard, but he's got a very busy schedule. He takes holidays at this time of the year, and someday, please God, that he'll come and witness, because I think if he actually got to come to the RDS on the Friday afternoon, sit with the President of Ireland and see the warmth, the reception, the pomp, the ceremony, he'd love it. Because he loves all that type of thing.
Because it is quite a spectacle.
Absolutely. As in, whenever each team has to parade behind the army band, and they take the salute from the president, but the crowd get behind each nation. Of course, whenever the Irish team are in, you want them to win.
Of course.
But whenever any of the other nations is in the ring, you're sort of hoping they'll have a fence down. But like last year, the Mexicans came to town. They'd never won the Aga Khan before. They won it. It was historic. That was they felt like that was winning the Olympic gold medal. They put on the somseros. Whenever they went on the parade, the whole crowd still stayed. Over 25,000 people stayed in the stadium, and they give them an unbelievable reception. So right. It is special. Like, you go to Aachen, as I keep using that as the...
Well, Aachen is the biggie, isn't
the biggie.
It now?
But you'll have maybe 40, 50,000 people in the stadium, but the atmosphere would not be anything like what it is in Dublin.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, how are we doing at the moment? I mean, we had our glory days, didn't we?
Yeah, you're talking about the dream team of Eddie Macken, the late Paul Dara, James Kiernan, who was only a teenage sensation, and Captain Con Power. Captain Con Power, actually, he'll be in full working order at the show this year, because his daughter, Isop, qualified to compete in the international classes, and she gets to go. She'll have a good chance in some of the speed internationals, and that's with a former event horse, so he'll be there, he'll be out in force, and people still call him the captain. It's a brilliant way, right. And he's still one of those iconic figures that people just love to see at the show. But that dream team, they were very special. 77, 78 and 79, the one that Daga Khan outright, and they probably set a benchmark for other teams, and it was on television all the time. Everybody knew who Eddie Macken was, who Paul Darrow was.
They did the horse as well.
Boomerang.
Yeah.
Rock Barton, Condi and Heather Honey.
Yeah.
I'm showing my age that I can even remember all these. But I they were the ones that I loved as well. I think everybody still loved them. We don't have them stars now because there's so many other sports on. Like you have Rory McIlroy in golf, or Shane Lowry now, who's the new pin-up boy.
Yeah.
As in, you still have the likes of Keane O'Connor, Jessica Curtin, who doesn't jump anymore. Bertram Allen, the young, well, he's 22 years old from Wexford, like he's had some career already. Like what he's won to date, he could retire.
Right.
It's been phenomenal what he's done.
Why do they have to base themselves overseas?
Well, one thing is that a lot of the Irish riders, whenever they go abroad to do some training and to get experience underneath their belt, they then make a good impression on different people that they come in touch with. So people who have the horse or people who they're riding for. So they see, first of all, that the Irish have a huge natural talent, that they're able to get on and ride any particular horse.
Yeah.
They also have a will to win. They're very good at the job and they're great with people.
Yeah, and why can't that be done from here? Money.
It's the money. The people abroad have the good horse that have the money. But I think if we could get some, if a bigger prize fund here, some incentives for it to be based here, at the moment, Keane O'Connor is building a yard in County Meath, and he's going to relocate himself back to here.
Right.
He's got a younger family, but he sees that he wants to be at home.
Yeah.
But as in some of the other riders have done really well, like in America, any Irish rider that has went to America has got a really good owner and one richer than the other. And they have been really helpful to the Irish team.
Right.
Like you look at Dara Kenny, he's from Offaly. He's going to be on the squad next week. He went to America and he doesn't just have one 5-star horse. He has 5 of them.
Wow.
You've also got Shane Sweetnam from Kenturken and Cork. He went to America, based himself in Wellington, Florida. Worked hard, started dealing, selling. Also got in with a very wealthy family there. But it wasn't the wealth is one part of it, because there's so many wealthy people in America. But it's the talent that they actually have, their ability to deal with people, to be able to get on a horse to
right.
win,
yeah.
and then be part of a team. Because the Irish team is very successful. You'd never underestimate an Irish team. They're the current European champions. They have to go back and defend that title later this year.
Right. And I always remind people about her, because she's kind of on her own, so to speak. Judy Reynolds in dressage, our Olympian.
She is brilliant. She has done more for the sport in the last 5 years than any of the other riders have done. She's brought it to a new level. She's a record-breaking lady that is constantly pushing the boundaries. She, again, based herself in Germany, because that is where the top dressage horses and trainers are.
Yeah.
But whenever you meet her, she's a very timid, very quietly spoken lady. On a horse, she delivers. And that's what it's all about.
Right. Now, bring us back to next week. It started off very militarily. It was the army band, it was the equitation school. When did, you know, ordinary mortals creep in there? Civilians, shall we say?
Yeah, you're throwing that's a one that I should have probably looked up the date on that particular one, but it was probably the 1950s, 1960s. Probably the big breakthrough was really Tommy Wade
Oh, yes.
Tommy Wade on Dundrum, Diana Connolly Carew, Seamus Hayes. That was the changing of the guard whenever civilians then became part of it. Right. But the Army Equitation School have played an important role in all of this.
Yeah.
It's this year they're competing in some of the national classes, but they're not competing in the internationals. And that's something that I'm sad to see that because it was always one of the great moments to see an army rider riding in. It was the people's horse, and that salute to the crowd, to the judge, just was a bit special. And it's still one of those special things. I think even the army's gone through a reform, and there's been plenty documented on them of late.
Yeah.
It's something that I'd encourage them to look at too.
Right, okay. Now, who will be competing next week?
Well, 13 nations are there, and really the Irish team is Dara Kenny, Keane O'Connor, Paul O'Shea, who's from Limerick but also based in America, and Shane Sweetnam. And the fifth man on the squad is Peter Maloney from Kilkenny. Now, this is a man you probably haven't heard of, but he is unbelievable talent. He had been based in the UK. He's now in Germany at the moment. He had been competing nationally and internationally, and then he got a break earlier this year whenever he got a horse belonging to, that was previously ridden by John Whittaker, but owned by Team Harmony. And Team Harmony is Her Royal Highness Princess High of Jordan. So she has been a...
She's very much in the news.
Very much in the news, but she has been a big supporter to Team Ireland. And she went out and they purchased a really nice horse called Keante's Champion. And that horse is going to be part of the European squad. So this is great. Ireland need to qualify for the Olympic Games.
She would be a nice, wealthy owner to sponsor something, wouldn't she?
But she has been a great, she has been a big supporter of the team all down through the years, through her competitive career.
Yeah.
She had a team of horses with Paul Dara.
I know.
Yeah,
she was on the programme here some time ago in a different connection altogether.
But she has been brilliant for the sport, and she's been brilliant for Ireland. So we hope that her horse that she has purchased, that they'll make a contribution to the team from now to the end of
What's the horse called?
Keante's Champion.
Keante's Champion. Yeah. Well, sounds good enough to me. Now,
the Puissons, Marion.
Yeah, tell us about the Puissons.
Well, the Puissons is the big red wall, and you don't need to know anything about jumping, only to come and have fun on Saturday evening at 6 o'clock. It's Land Rover, the Puissons. It's the richest one in the world. 227 is the record at Dublin, which is 6'7¾". That's not the world record. Frankie Sluthick has that, and that's 2.40 meters, 7'10½".
That's a big jump.
Could you imagine coming down to that?
Holy God. You wonder what goes through the horse's head. Never mind the rider.
Well, actually, I stand at the side of the wall for the commentary. And I can tell you that my heart is pounding because everybody in the arena goes really quiet. And the last 10 strides, say 5 strides, the horse starts to get quicker and quicker, or maybe goes a little bit out of control, and the rider's starting to sit back because you have to gauge where the horse is to take off. And then automatically catapults up into the air over, and then the music goes and everybody's on their feet. But Mikey Pender, 19 years old from Castle Dermot, based with Marion Hughes and Miguel Bravo down in Kilkenny. This is a history maker. He already won the Hickstead Derby, the youngest rider ever to win at 19. He won it just a couple of months ago. That's one that Eddie Mackin made famous with Boomerang. And on his first attempt, Hartan de Bois Hallo. Don't ask me to repeat that one again. But they're going to go in the Puissons. They hope to get to the fifth and final round. Could be a new record on the agenda this year at Dublin.
Wow. Right. So that opening day is?
Wednesday. Wednesday morning. But people will start arriving in from tomorrow.
Right.
And they'll be getting in. The trade stands are all there. Hospitality is sold out. They could build the same again. As you say, if they hadn't to sell it, they would have had it. But it's a great spectacle. You don't have to be into horses to be into the Dublin Horse Show.
Okay.
Come along. It'll be there. And the Grand Prix, to mention, on Sunday afternoon, €350,000.
Wow.
It brings the best in the world to Dublin.
Right.
And that's an increased prize fund for them.
Yeah, I see it started out at £5. There you go. So it grew. Listen, Brendan McGarden, thank you very, very much.
We might see you there, Marion. You might come down.
Okay. Cheers. Bye-bye.